This is the Your Vote, Your Voice Election 2020 podcast. Keep it tuned to 1030 The Voice for everything Election 2020. Local and national races, all the updates. Election 2020 lives on 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
Good morning, Tucson. Welcome back to Tipping Point here on 1030 The Voice, daily in-depth news, talk, and conversation about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I am your host, Zach Yenser, and I'm joined on the air now by Fernando Gonzalez. He is a Republican running for Richard Elias's Board of Supervisors seat here in Pima County in District 5, held temporarily by Betty Villegas, it is an open seat. Betty will not be running for that herself. And here we are with Fernando Gonzalez on the air. Fernando, thanks for coming on with us for a few minutes today. How are you?
Well, thank you very much for having me on the program. I'm really excited to be able to talk with the public there.
Yes, for sure. So this has become my starter question, and it makes sense because it's the name of my show, but I enjoy asking it every single time, Fernando. What was your tipping point moment? What was that moment you got out of bed and said, I'm the guy for the job. I need to get in this race. I think I can do it well. What was your tipping point moment?
I think, you know, when I ran in 2008, I saw there was some pretty sad issues regarding when it comes to poverty in Pima County, the roads, obviously, the mismanagement of the budget, the debt that the county had incurred. And so here we are, you know, 8 years later, and nothing has really changed. And I think people have been talking to me about running in the past and again. And so this time I decided, you know what, I'm retired. I had my own business. I'm retired. And I have a lot of time to focus on the job.
Right. And you are running unopposed as a Republican in District 5, correct? You're the only R on the ballot?
Yes, sir, I am.
Got it. When you know, I think it's interesting. This has become the add-on question, Fernando, for candidates that I didn't ask before because it wasn't here before. But COVID-19, I think, has changed the game on a lot of things moving forward. What do you think the region needs from our electeds in the next year and a half, to pull ourselves out of some of the negative impacts of COVID-19? And how is that impact some of your platform and what you want to do in the seat?
That's actually a very good question. You know, the Pima County has always been run as a nonprofit organization. So consequently, they have no incentive to be productive, to be transparent with the taxpayers. And so a lot of the people that were on the board have always been politicians or people who are have been in politics for a long time, and my idea is to come at it from a business perspective. In business, you have to have a balanced budget or you won't survive. You have to prioritize or you won't survive. You know, I had a big contract, almost $1 million contract that I lost through the bidding process. And I had it for about 8 years and I lost it. And so what I had to do is I had to prioritize. I just wasn't spending the same amount of money. Even I cut my salary by 60% in order to survive in business. And so it's important to know that we need to prioritize in Pima County. And that's not what's happening right now. So unfortunately, it's gotten us into a lot of trouble because the majority of the board thinks that the taxpayers have deep pockets, and it's a lot easier to spend other people's money than it is your own. And so I think just looking at it from a business perspective, what is it that we need to do? And it's just not one. I don't want to be a lone ranger on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. I want it to be a team effort. To work together with others for the benefit and the good of the county.
Some of the issues you mentioned, Fernando, on your website that we'll get into momentarily are focuses on poverty, infrastructure, taxes, public safety, the budget. Tell us a little bit in way of introduction for those listening who maybe haven't heard of you or haven't worked with you before. Tell us a little bit about Fernando Gonzalez and why you think your experience is going to be helpful to you in this seat.
Yeah, you know, I've worked actually for county government, state government, nonprofits, private industry. So I know the workings of the nonprofit sector as well as the private sector. And so I've owned my own business for the past 20 years. In that particular business, obviously, budget was a very important part. You know, I budgeted so that I never had to borrow any money to help with the I've never had to borrow any money because of my budgeting practices. If I was to grow or if I was to get a new contract, I always had the money to be able to do that. That experience, you know, owning my business for 20 years, knowing what it means to really prioritize what's important, what are the needs really, and not what are the wants. And that's what needs to happen in Pima County.
Yeah, Fernando, it seems I was looking over your website the other day and this morning as well, and just in preparation for our conversation. And one of the themes that I've seen on your social media, seen on your website, something you message a lot about is your frustration that we continue to rank among one of the more poorer metros of our size in the country, and that you believe that the county and the city have, in your words, choked off jobs, and the way that we've done that has created poverty. Can you, maybe as our last conversation piece before the break, and I want to get into some of your other issues as well, can you explain to us why that is such a big theme for your campaign?
It is, because, you know, when people don't have jobs, that equals poverty. And it saddens me because when I ran 8 years ago and I walked the neighborhoods, and I chose the Democrat strongholds to be able to walk. And I did. And all the people that I met were struggling. They were either unemployed or they were living in horrible conditions. And really, honestly, that broke my heart, man. I felt like, oh my God, how could this be happening? How could one in four children in Pima County live in poverty like that? You know, and it really, I mean, it hit me hard. And consequently, you know, I actually had a radio program, which I didn't mention on there, but I had a radio program for about 5 years, a few years ago, and talking about all the issues that affect our county, both physically, spiritually, et cetera. So, yeah, it was pretty hard. And then to read, you know, that Tucson is ranked as one of the worst cities to live in the Southwest. I mean, what kind of reputation are we building here? And it goes all back down to the leadership.
You know, Fernando, I want to break my rules here and go on a quick break a little bit early, because I want to dive into what your solutions are. How do we crack that nut? Because I think we've been, in my mind, struggling with some of the same issues for a really long time. You mentioned this was inspiration for you 8 years ago, but you and I know that this, I mean, has been happening for decades in our region. We just can't seem to crack this nut and overcome some of these same issues to get to our best possible future. I want to go to break a little bit early. When we come back, I want to talk about some of your issues and platforms and strategies, Fernando, for overcoming that should you step into that seat in the fall. We'll go do that right now. We'll be right back in 2 minutes. Tucson, don't go away here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Tucson, welcome back for part two of our conversation with Fernando Gonzalez. He's a Republican running for Democrat Richard Elias's seat in District 5 on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Fernando, I wanted to stop where we did so we could take as much time as we possibly can here before the top of the hour to dive into some of the themes that I know you've thought about already of you're in the seat tomorrow. What do you do? What do you advocate for? And I want to start with jobs and economic development, which you state is something that's important to you to see. What would you do differently that as you look at the current set of board members, both ours and D's, that you would do differently than what is being done now to be a more attractive location for jobs and business?
Yes. Well, economic development actually is one of the responsibilities of the Board of Supervisors, and they actually have it in their web, you know. And the mission there is to help and nurture existing businesses and new businesses, you know. And so a healthy community is brought about by economic stability. So jobs and development of business is important. And I think what's happening, you know, unfortunately, Pima County has a reputation of being anti-business. So my plan is to really work with some of the entities, other jurisdictions for best practices, to work with the Pima County Small Business Commission and other entities to be able to streamline some of the services that we provide, the permitting process, make it a lot easier for businesses to start, grow, and thrive in our community. So that's really important. The unfortunate part is that there's too much politics involved in this area. The Pima County for many years has picked and chose the winners and the losers. I'll give you a good example. They, both the city of Tucson and Pima County came up with a resolution that they weren't going to invest or hire any company that was involved in building, any construction company that was involved in building the wall on the southern border. That is not our job. Our job is to stimulate many of those people. That's their job. They're trying to feed their families. And so we need to really honestly take politics out of the economic development and out of the jobs and quit picking winners and losers. And also not advocating for pet projects. There's a lot of pet projects in Pima County, and I think that's got to stop. So just go ahead and put the economic development plan into practice, and not just have it written. Sounds good, looks good, it's a good read, but not follow it.
Fernando, I'd be curious to get your thoughts, and you write about a little bit on your website. I think the worldview deal is something that is an interesting example of this, because where I'm challenged is you certainly don't want cronyism, or you don't want, you know, any special deals being made. But innovation in this country has often started by the public sector and research dollars de-risking the market a little bit until the private sector is able to step in. To me, without all the details involved, Worldview is an example of that, where it's an innovation economy actor. It can often be assisted in economic development by the public sector de-risking it until the private sector can fully fund it. We see that examples over and over and over again. Is that to you picking winners and losers, or is there a role for Pima County to provide some incentives and some initial funding up front to get some things going that otherwise either wouldn't or wouldn't for a while?
Well, you know, it's not Pima County's job to fund a public a private entity as they have. The bad part about it is that the financing plan for this particular facility, you know, they use certificates of participation, which is a debt issuance that doesn't require voter approval. So they kind of went around, in a sense, to borrow, and so the county then borrows against an asset to fund this project. What is this project about, and how many jobs is it bringing? That's the other question. You know, they're laying off people right now. What they're doing is providing a rocket to fly up to the atmosphere at a cost. If you want to do that, $75,000 it'll take for you to take that ride. Who in Pima County and the represented and the taxpayers that we represent is able to afford that when they're living day to day, just trying to make ends meet? And so when the county does shenanigans like this, and then they just voted to cancel the rent and utilities, I believe, to several companies who are already getting assistance from the government, when they go ahead and cancel the rent, you know, what this company, how is it serving the public? It's not serving really the public when you look, think about it. And right after that, they're laying off people. So it makes no sense. We should not. You talk about corporate welfare. This is corporate welfare right here at its finest. And so that's why the county is using our taxpayers' money to fund companies, private companies they have no business doing.
I want to switch over with you, Fernando, now to make sure we get to this, because you get into this in good detail as well on your platform. That's infrastructure. You state that Pima County receives $95.5 million from VLT and HERF monies that are designated for roads, and that your concern is that the upcoming Pima County budget is designating $26 million for roads, down from $36 million designated last year. Fiscal year. You know, certainly, and this is another concern of mine, how do we get past this? You know, certainly we know that a lot of that money, it's not one-to-one. It's not like we get that money and it goes directly to pavement. The debt, servicing the debt that we've been carrying since the 90s, is a piece of that, and we got to get rid of it. I mean, and we don't want to make the same mistake, but we got to get rid of what we have. Tell me about HERF dollars, swept HERF dollars, infrastructure dollars. What would you do better than the current representation on the board?
Again, I would designate more funds, you know, to road. 60% of the roads can't even, by Chuck Huckleberry's own words, can't even be repaired. They need to be rebuilt. And so our taxpayers are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars having to fix their cars because they hit these road bumps in the road, you might say, or in this case, holes in the road. And so what I would do is I would designate more money to fix the roads. And one of the things that I would do is I would start by asking the transportation department to tell us, and they have this information, which are the worst roads in the county. Which are the worst roads in the county? And I don't care what district they're in, let's attack those first. Let's go ahead and start rebuilding those roads again. So that's one of the things that I would definitely start with, is just prioritizing which roads are the worst in the county and then address more money in those areas to go ahead and fix the roads.
Fernando, we have about 3.5 minutes. I want to talk to you about taxes, because I know that's a big one. Pima County has the highest property tax in Arizona, but once you add in secondary taxes and other kinds of taxes, it all combined is actually puts us, I think, in either in the top third or in the half around the state. Everyone talks about the property tax side, but the whole picture is actually a little bit sunnier. You still have concerns about the property tax rate in Arizona or in Pima County. What would you do? Would you keep taxes? Would you lower them? Would you increase them to take care of some of these roads? What would you do on taxes?
Well, you know, taxes are necessary in order to be able to fund any government. They are necessary. I'm not against taxes at all. What I am against is the misappropriation of our tax dollars. You know, just a little bit going to the roads, you know, they had this proposition 463 to fix the roads. It sounded good. They used $260,000 of our taxpayer dollars to promote Prop 463. I was on the opposite end. We only had $10,000 to promote the no on 463, and we won. The reason we won is not because we're marketing geniuses. The reason we won is because people are realizing that there's not a problem with paying taxes. It's the misappropriation of our taxes. That's the problem. And so, that's what I was talking in the beginning, when it comes to the budget, is what are the priorities in the county? How are we ensuring that we get the best buck for our money? Why are we paying $600,000 more for a bowling alley than we should? Why are we buying properties and taking them off the tax roll? Why did we buy Buckaloo Farms, the pumpkin patch? All those questions are why? And it's important to understand, because these people don't have a business perspective. They don't come from a business background. And so it's always been known as a nonprofit organization, and we need to change that.
VoteFernandoGonzalez.org is your website. We're coming down to the final seconds of the hour. That feels like a good place to stop. For volunteering, for donating, for finding more out about you, Fernando, that website's the best place?
Yes, sir. That's it.
Super. Fernando, thank you so much for your time this morning, for coming on to share your vision for the region and your platform and issues. And we'll have you on again soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the invitation. I really appreciate it, Zach.